Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. America Magazine is the national Catholic weekly. Visit us online at www.americamagazine.org.
Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast, the week of May 11th. This week we feature a conversation with Robert J. Birdsell, who is the president and chief executive officer of the Cristo Rey Network. Mr. Birdsell has an article in the May 11th issue called A Catholic Alternative, What's Missing in the Debate on Education. Now, the Cristo Rey Network is a series of schools in inner cities around the country in which high school students spend 4 days a week in the classroom and then 1 day a week in business internships, which in turn help pay for their education. We began our conversation by talking about the differences between Catholic schools and public schools and why Catholic schools have traditionally fared better in educating urban minority students.
That's a great question, and one that we're continually driving into and researching here at the Cristo Rey Network. But there are a few common denominators. One is the discipline and of the schools, that they are well managed. I remember just my own Catholic school experience. You didn't goof around with the nuns or the Jesuits. They meant business. You were here to learn. In that same sense, the teachers in our schools are incredibly committed and gifted teachers. I remember meeting one of our students recently who just went on and on about his teachers in one of our Cristo Rey schools, and I said, how does that differ from your experiences last year? And he said, well, last year I had 9 different English teachers. And so the commitment of our teachers many years ago when it was the priests and nuns, and now today we're over 95% of the faculty in Catholic schools are lay people, is quite evident. So the culture of discipline, the culture of excellence, number one, and then number two, the level of professionalism and commitment of mission-driven faculty, I think, are two absolutely critical pieces. And then the third thing, I think, is the expectations. We have high expectations in Catholic schools, be they Cristo Rey or Nativity Miguel or diocesan schools. When you go to a Catholic school, the expectations are that you will perform to the best of your God-given ability.
Now, one of the things you start your article with is President Barack Obama and his Education Secretary Arne Duncan are facing huge problems in the education world. But one that you note that has not been talked about is what you call the economic collapse of the Catholic parochial school system. Maybe you can talk more about that and the challenges that the country faces there.
Sure. And this is one that is a grave concern to me and keeps, I think, many of us in this space up at night. There have been a multitude of factors hitting Catholic schools all at the same time. One that's been happening over many, many years, but the disappearance of the religious in our schools. So, as I noted earlier, even when I was in high school, not that many years ago, but quite a few years ago, there were 20 plus Jesuits at Marquette High School. Today, there are just a handful, if you're lucky. So these incredibly committed and gifted religious were working at a much reduced pay scale than lay people have to, because lay people have homes and families and mortgages and so on and so forth, so you have to pay more. So the costs in Catholic schools have been dramatically increasing over the past 20 to 30 years, but yet the revenues could not be increasing at the same rate. Otherwise, you just price yourself out of the market. And so tuition has been going up, but not at the rate of the costs of the labor. That's one factor. Another really important factor that I don't think has been talked enough about are charter schools. The charter schools are, many of them are taking the playbook from Catholic schools, but they're getting money from the federal government or the state government. And so they are giving high quality, in many cases, not all, but in many cases, a very high quality education at no cost to families. So while families want to send their kids to Catholic schools, right down the street there's a very high performing charter school, and it's hard to pay $6,000 or $5,000 to go to the Catholic school when you got a good school there. Historically, urban America especially did not have high performing public schools. Now we are seeing high performing charters in urban America. So that is having an impact on Catholic schools. So those are two big factors that are I think impacting this the distress that we're seeing across the country, and especially urban Catholic schools, and it's going to head to the outlying suburbs soon, especially in this recession. There's one school I know that has 400 students, and 100 of the students' parents have been laid off this year. They're likely not going to come back next year. If you lose that many, 25% of your student body, intuition that, that's what we're seeing across the country.
You mentioned charter schools, and obviously, as you said, they've learned a lot from Catholic schools, and if they are able to offer, you know, a good education and, you know, improve student performance, what role can Catholic schools play in this environment? What can they offer that's different?
That's a great question, and I just to go on the record, I'm a fan of charter schools. I think that I'm a fan of free markets, and what Catholic schools have to do is rise above that and look at the competitive threat of charter schools and really offer a differentiated product then. What's the difference between a high-performing charter and a high-performing Catholic? It's our Catholic nature, that we are not just about academics, that our schools teach that theology and religion and your faith and your spirituality is just as important as your science and math curriculum. That's the differentiation. But what has to happen is that our schools have to even be better than the charters so that parents will pay the tuition. And that's the question that I'm raising in my article is, you know, if we believe in choice and free markets and education, Catholic schools play a critical role in that. And parents want these schools, but they just can't afford $6,000. And that's the dialogue that I hope begins to happen across the country is before these schools all are closed. I mean, we've lost 2,000 inner-city high schools in the past 20 years, 1,200 faith-based schools in the past 6 years, 7 years, I believe, was in the White House report last year. It's a critical time now. So to answer your question, they offer a choice for families that want a faith-based, character-based school that kids can study religion and practice their faith in.
Now, one challenge is that a number of these schools in the inner city have been traditionally educating students who are not Catholic, you know, perhaps African-American students, and now that they have an alternative, perhaps the faith-based component of it is not that attractive. So that seems to present an additional challenge.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, just if you look at our Cristo Rey schools, I think the most recent statistic is about 40% of our students are not Catholic, and that's an increasing number every year. But we don't do this because we want to make these students Catholic. It's not about evangelization. We do it because we're Catholic. This is part of our faith to bring education and to bring a safe environment, a high-performing school to them. But you raise a great question. You know, as the Catholics have left the inner cities and gone to the suburbs, you know, having a discussion with a huge fan of Catholic schools recently that said the markets have changed and maybe there is not a need for urban Catholic education. That would be a very sad day for me if that is true, but I believe there are enough people in urban America and Central City America that want a Catholic education because they know its quality, they know their kids can gain a faith experience, maybe not the same exact faith as theirs, but a Christian faith experience is important to keep in urban America.
Now, as you mentioned in your article, we're having this national debate about education now because of the election of Barack Obama. You know, if you were in a room with President Obama or with, you know, Secretary Arne Duncan, you know, what would you have to say? How would you pitch Cristo Rey or Catholic schools in general to them?
Well, there'd be two different pitches because I do see them as one thing. I think there's the bigger Catholic school, and I would speak to them about we're a piece of the puzzle. Catholic schools have a long history, 150-year-plus history of educating Americans. To not include that in the national discourse that is occurring, especially around the Relief and Recovery Act, is discouraging. I mean, if you were to close Catholic schools across the country, the public system couldn't handle it. You know, just take a little community like Rocky River, Ohio, or Fairview Park, Ohio, and if tomorrow that Catholic school closed, they would overwhelm the local public school. They could not take them all. So they would have to then lease the Catholic school from the parish and hire the teachers to run the public school. And I don't think that's what anybody wants. They would just absolutely overwhelm the public system if we don't address what's happening in the Catholic schools. So I think there'd be one discussion with the president or the secretary about the greater role of Catholic schools and how parents should be able to choose what type of school they want, my dream would be that a parent in urban America could choose a high-performing charter school. They could choose a school that is focused on entrepreneurship, a school that is maybe more focused on the arts. They could choose a Catholic school. That we should have choice so that families can really choose what type of school is best for their student. We know that the large 2,000 to 3,000 student school is not the best situation for everybody. And I do believe Catholic schools play a critical role in that choice. If we're talking more specifically about Cristo Rey, I would say that we do have a model that is proven to be sustainable and bring quality college prep Catholic education to urban America, and to invest in these schools because they are proven to work. You know, last year 98% of our students were accepted into college, of our graduates. These schools are working. Invest in us and learn from us. Would be a little different discussion there.
Now, in your article, you talk about public support for Catholic schools, Cristo Rey schools, and what that would mean. Are we talking about vouchers here? I mean, obviously, this is a debate that's been going on for a long time,
right.
But are there other ways that the government can lend support to Catholic institutions?
Well, there's certainly Title I and Title II funding, which are, I think, need to be revisited. How that revenue is distributed is currently extremely unfair.
Maybe you can define those two for us.
Title I and Title II funding are predominantly professional development, technology funding that Catholic schools do have access to under No Child Left Behind, not getting into all the legal details, but it is a funding stream that Catholic schools can get access to, yet the vast majority of Catholic schools do not get the fair share that they're allowed to receive. Our schools, for example, just really struggle with getting access to these funds. The districts, the public districts, make it very difficult. The money goes from the federal to the state to the district, and we have to work extremely hard to get some access to this funding. It's some states or some districts say they won't give it to high schools. It's a very cumbersome, non-streamlined, non-efficient process to get at that revenue that we do get by law have access to. So the number one thing I'd say is make all students that should get access to this funding, make it much easier for Catholic schools to get access to it. I don't know what that looks like, but I think if the Department of Education were to look at that, they could streamline that process quite a bit. So that's the easiest. That's already been approved and legal. Number two, the concept of Catholic charters, I think, needs to be talked about. There are faith-based charters out there, but they can't practice their faith, and to me that's a bit of an oxymoron then. If you're going to have a charter school and not allow crosses on the wall or the teaching of theology during the day, it's not a Catholic school to me. But I do think federal funding of high-performing Catholic schools should be addressed. It should be a national debate should occur around that. We're one of three industrialized nations that do not fund faith-based schools. I believe it's China, Cuba, and China, Cuba, and I'm going to get them wrong, but they're not people that we would want to be aspiring to. Most of the European nations do support faith-based schools. That's the dialogue that I hope can occur in the near future. So not vouchers. I think vouchers are dead. I think the president clearly has given that argument up to the unions. I do believe he and Secretary Duncan will be pushing charters, as difficult as it is. Just this week in the Wall Street Journal, there's a great article on how this is not as easy as I think they thought it was. So I do see charters as the future of educational reform, not vouchers.
So there's an opportunity there for faith-based charter schools.
I think there needs to be a discussion about that has not occurred. People have tried it. Last year, the White House Summit on Inner-City Faith-Based Education had a great debate on it, but it hasn't been elevated to the national level.
And maybe we can end by just talking specifically about Cristo Rey. Obviously, you have a model here where it's kind of a mix of obviously time in the classroom, but also time in the workplace. And that is this model has. How long has Cristo Rey been in existence now?
The original school was opened in 1996.
Okay.
And the first school replication was in 2001. So the network started in 2001. The replication of these now soon to be 24 schools this fall. And just some data for you. Our schools are 88% of budget on fundraising, so people like giving to these schools because they see hope in them. With 2-3 months left in the school year, they're almost hitting budget. As everybody says, everybody's stopping giving. Well, they aren't stopping giving to everything. And across the country, we've lost 20 jobs while picking up 80 this year. So while the economy is certainly a factor and something we're very concerned about, our students are holding their jobs and picking jobs up.
What is the advantage of having, institutions that employ these students involved in their education? I mean, does it bring them into the debate in a way that they would otherwise not be involved?
That's a great question. And historically, we felt that the jobs were just a revenue source. It was a pure business plan. If we're going to have urban education, we need a third revenue stream, urban Catholic education. And it was business guys sitting down creating a revenue stream. What they never imagined was the educational impact, not only on the students, but as you're alluding to the companies. It's getting people to see these young people for what they are, incredibly well-educated, dynamic people. We're in our office here. We've got a wonderful young woman here today who we couldn't be doing our job without her. I mean, she elevates us, and she's just a fun. They bring hope to these companies, but most importantly, to the kids' education. We'd never dreamed how important it would be to their education that as they go to the workplace, they realize that their writing has to improve. They realize, if they're working at a financial institution, that their math skills have to improve if they would ever want to work on Wall Street. Not that anybody wants to work on Wall Street, but if they want to work at an insurance company, if they want to work at a law firm, there are skills that they really have to improve upon. But they also, something we talk about is the plausibility concept, that all of a sudden they begin to dream. Kids here in Pilsen on the south side of Chicago never being down in the loop, and now they're working at Aon, they're working at a law firm. They're being treated by a partner of a law firm like a peer. And they begin to say, hey, I could do this. But they know in order to do this, I have to go to college and succeed. So that hope, that dreaming has been just a critical component of the work-study program.
Well, we'll end there, but we want to thank Robert Purcell for joining us and wish you luck in your work.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here and appreciate your interest in our work.
I want to thank you for joining us for this week's edition of the America Magazine podcast. Just a reminder that you can respond to our conversations by going to americamagazine.podbean.com. You can also check out our website this week for reports from our America Centennial Mass, which was held on April 18th. We have some slideshow pictures as well as a report from Father Jim Martin. This is Tim Reedy for America Magazine.